Welcome to Aura.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Aura Talks. We are currently at episode 7, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Aiden, Jasmine, and Mir, who are all wonderful active youth currently residing in the community. So you guys, thank you so much for being here. I genuinely appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
Because basically a couple of weeks ago, I got to talk with Ayesha and Sess, right, who also grew up in the community. But it's different. I really wanted to take the time to talk to people who are still living in the community and who are still like younger. Because I mean, I don't know if it's fair to say we're adults now, but it definitely feels like we're entering adulthood year by year. So thank you for joining, guys. It's funny, like a little background to how I met you all. I think everyone has this assumption when you grew up in Oroville, you like meet everyone, you're tight with everyone, but it's not necessarily the case. Even for me, like when I came back, I had never talked to any of you guys, like ever, you know, maybe I saw your face and I saw, oh my God, little cute Aiden or little cute Jasmine, but never talked to you guys. And the reason that we got to actually interact and get to know each other better was, so earlier last year, like I was in Oroville, I was doing a lot of surveys or like formal research to like understand how Oroville as a community, what they think of the concept of basic income. So I was like surveying and interviewing a lot of Orovillians. And at one point I felt so exhausted, not just in terms of talking to so many people, but I felt like I lacked like youth energy, you know what I mean? I lack interaction with younger people. So I was like, okay, I don't even need to hang out with people my own age. I want to hang out with people who are younger than me, you know? So then I had the spontaneous idea to organize the roundtable sessions, remember guys, at Future School? Yeah. And it was actually so fruitful how it came about. So we would have a handful of students from Future School, handful of students from law school, and we began to explore topics, like just random topics that were actually quite relevant. So the first topic was Oroville philosophy. So we read the Oroville Charter, I remember, and we kind of dissected it and shared our own interpretations of it. And then we also explored like what it means to integrate people better, what our current situation with the surrounding bioregions are, and also what it means to empathize with people. Because growing up in a community like Oroville, you're constantly surrounded by like different types of people. So it's really important to master the skill of trying to understand what you're not familiar with, right? So, I mean, during those conversations, I'm not gonna lie, guys, I was very, very impressed because I think at that age, how old are you guys, by the way, right now?
Go first.
Like how?
15.
15, you're 15, Mir?
16,
okay.
I'm 17.
17, and Jasmine?
And I just turned 18 during the quarantine.
Okay, oh, wow. happy belated. I just remember, like, okay, at that age, I definitely didn't feel like I had the social aptitude to explore topics like this in front of other people and be so respectful about it. So I honestly was super proud. I was like, wow, Oroville generation, they're getting much more socially apt over time. So I was just genuinely like, wow, these guys are very, very talented and smart. So how about you guys, we start off with a very short self-introduction. So Jasmine, Mir, and Aiden, just at which age did you come to Oroville and what have you been doing? So did you, just a little bit of background for the audience members.
Okay.
So I came when I was 6 months old. So as far as I'm concerned, I've been here my whole life.
Wow.
I've gone the alternative route, even in Oroville, where everything's kind of alternative in terms of education. And right now I'm in law school.
Okay. And you, Aiden?
So me and Jasmine are classmates, and I've been born in Oroville. I've been born in the house that I'm at. My parents came 24 years ago. To live in Oroville, and I also did the same schooling as Jasmine up to this day. We've gone to the same class and the same school. that's pretty much it. I'm in my last year of high school.
Wow.
That we're gonna start supposedly in a month. We're gonna do our last year. Let's hope it starts in a month, because
That's exciting, guys. Last year of high school, I remember it very fondly. Like, shout out to Nelson Mandela High School. I went to a high school in Berlin called Nelson Mandela. And it was like golden years. Like, you know, when you see high school portrayed in American, like popular Hollywood media, it's always like a lot of bullying, a lot of like insecurities. I didn't really have a lot of that. I feel like Jasmine and Aiden, you pretty much have like a really good high school life, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Also, our class is so small. It's like we're all really close.
Yeah.
And like one thing, definitely, like all my classmates have like been there in my life for a long period of time. But it's like really a second family, and I really appreciate that. That like we're so close as a class, you know.
Yes, I'm gonna give you a nice reaction here. what about you, Mir? A little bit about you.
I was born in Oroville, well, Pondi, and I've been here my whole life. My parents met in Oroville. I went a different route in education than Jasmine and Eden. I went to transition and then future school. But since the Oroville community is so tight-knit, we're still able to become friends with different schools.
Well, that's really, really important.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mia, did you say something?
No.
I think like what's interesting is already in this self-introduction, we had like talk of like Oroville education, right? And one thing that I'm personally very grateful for having grown up at the community is just the overwhelming support and guidance that I got to learn and explore. Like if there was an initiative that I wanted to actually learn something, I felt like there was always someone, whether in the school context or outside, to help me out, right? I think it'd be really nice for the audience members who are not very familiar with the diversity of Oroville education to like get a better understanding of this. So Oroville, unlike most parts of the world, does not have this one conventional educational system. I think there's some distinct systems or like schools in place. So I'd love to know from you guys, because as you already mentioned, like Jasmine and Aiden, you guys are in law school. Mir, you went to future school, or you're still attending future school. So could you guys kind of elaborate on what are the certain diversities that we're seeing in Oroville schools? And let's say even specifically, what's the difference between law school and future school, which are both high schools?
So I would say the major difference between them is that in law school, it's very much more like focused towards free progress and like self-motivation. And in the other case, you have future school, then it's like the teachers like push you a bit more because you have the exams, the UK exams. I'm not so familiar with what EXL, right, Mir? I'm not
EDXL.
Wrong.
EDXL.
Yeah. So that's the main difference, I would say.
Okay.
If you guys want to add something? I don't know.
What do you think? Yeah. What are your thoughts, Jasmine and Mir, on this topic?
You first, Jasmine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like another like major difference is just the student-teacher relationship.
Hmm.
Like, I feel like I'm friends with all of my teachers. I haven't been to future school, but from friends, I hear that, like, it's less like that in future school. It's more teacher-student relationship. And that's something I really enjoy about law school, so yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I think, like, the reason why maybe future school tends to be a bit more formal is because you have more formalities to adhere to. For example, like taking exams, and maybe that's why it's not, even for teachers, they have to take on that role to be like, okay, guys, remind the students, like we're here to take exams. As opposed to law school, it's not so clear cut, like what the goal or the purpose of the education is. It's much more open end and much more exploratory, I think, in that sense.
I think what I could consider the goal as like, in law school, at least for me, it's like self-development and like to grow as a person. And yeah pretty much that. Especially like the third and fourth year, they really give you like a freedom to explore what you want and like take, even if you want like free time. Like I had a lot of that last year. I had like so many projects going on. I did a 2 weeks course of barista that I didn't go to school like at all. Then I did my first tourist guiding trip that I went to Thailand. I also missed 2 weeks of school, and my teachers were considerably accepting with that, and they didn't give me much of a stingy eye.
No, that's, I think what I would love to know now from Mir is, I mean, law school sounds like, honestly, nobody would argue that law school seems like, sounds like a dream, honestly, especially if you compare it to most conventional educational systems outside here in Europe, for example. So Mir, why did you, was it your decision or was it more like the guidance that you took from your parents to go to future school? Like, what made you choose future school?
Honestly, when I was first, so in transition, we all go, we go to different schools. We get an introduction. And out of three schools, NES, last school, and future school, in the beginning, I was really indecisive. I was even thinking of doing both schools. Some students take some classes in last school, some classes in future school. A lot of teachers advise me not to. It's quite a difficult schedule, routine. I don't know.
So spontaneous decision?
Yeah, spontaneous.
Sometimes like decisions have to be made spontaneously, especially I feel like when you're younger. I think, I don't know if you guys are gonna come to this soon, but after high school, you have to make the big decision of what the next step is, because you've really concluded a very formative chapter in your life. And it's a difficult period for a lot of people. And some people go into business, others people go into engineering, other people go into art school or something more creative or something more, let's say even craftsmanship. But then, like, it's so unfair to have that kind of important decision that really defines the rest of your, let's say, your 20s to, like, at that early age, you know? So I think sometimes you have to be honest and be like, okay, it was a spontaneous decision, instead of trying to, like, justify, yeah, I thought about this, I thought about this factor, and that's how I came to this decision. Don't lie. It was a bit spontaneous, you know? So I want to ask all of you guys, what do you just generally think about the education system in Oroville, like in comparison to the rest of the world? I'm not sure how familiar you are with high schools, middle schools, and primary schools abroad, but let me just give you a little bit of context that it is very, very different. They have a very fixed curriculum that they stick to, like year by year, starting from primary school to all the way to high school, right? Especially in a country like Germany, there is like a meticulous system that you like stick to. So in comparison to that, like, what do you guys think? What are your thoughts on Oroville education?
Honestly, I think it's really good. I'm super grateful that like my parents had me here, because when I go back to my home country, that's Spain.
Yeah.
For sure, like I can see that my cousins and all my friends, they don't like going to school. Like, and I enjoy, like, even maybe in the moment I'm like, oh shit, it's 8 o'clock, I gotta start going to school. Like, it's a bit of a drag, but then when I finish it or I look at myself like 2 years back, I'm like, whoa, that was that's fun, you know? Like, I have fun at school, and especially when I see them, it's like, it's a bit of a torture for them, you know? And the connection that they have with their teachers, like, it's shit. Like, they swear to their teachers, and teacher swears back to them. It's like zero respect in between, and really, like, you're just learning out of a book, and you're not learning out of, like, a person or out of, like, anything actually interesting, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. What are your thoughts, Jasmine and Mir, on this topic, like, in comparison to, yeah, Mir?
I can really relate to Eden. I believe growing up in Oroville and learning in our schools teaches you to grow as a person rather than to learn and become another person in the economy.
Yeah. Wow, that was a real deep remark right there, Mir. How about you? How about you, Jasmine?
I feel like, of course, there's the major things about, like, the way the schools are planned out and the curriculum and all, but in my opinion, it kind of comes down to relationships and just that everybody knows each other so much better. So there's kind of a mutual respect between everybody, because to an extent, you know, it's not a stranger that you're talking to, even if it's a teacher that you see every day. We're small groups, such small classes, and yeah, there's like more, I think it's just the relationship and the knowing of everybody that makes the big difference.
I agree. Just think about it. Like, if you go to a high school, because like public high schools, for example, in the States go up to a couple of thousand, you know, and that's like pretty much a population of Oroville. If you talk about it, like the residents, you know, if you have a high school where there are 3,000 or 2,500 people, that's pretty much equivalent to the residents, like residential population in Oroville. So to kind of put that into context, you know.
But you can even see it just in the bioregion, like around us, there are massive schools too.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, for sure. Like there's some colleges and even just high schools with 3,000 kids, like you were saying. And that's even worse, like 80 kids in one classroom with one teacher.
That's crazy.
My school, we're 45.
Yeah.
No, school, you know what I mean?
For sure. Like, honestly, like I was also very lucky when I went to Nelson Mandela. I was a bit scared, to be honest, at that age. I was 17 when I left Oroville. I wasn't sure what type of education I was entering into. Shout out to Nelson Mandela School. It was like a museum or sanctuary for Nelson Mandela. So it was a lot of Nelson Mandela posters and so much diversity. I met people from countries that I've never heard of. So I was like, oh, you're from that? Especially a lot of from, like, let's say, African countries. And I was really glad because it was a very intimate environment too. In a classroom, we had up to maybe like 15 to 20. And for a public school system or an international school, that's very, very good. So I was like able to easily or seamlessly transition into like a different schooling system, which I'm very grateful for. The next discussion, guys, I wanted to bring up was the level of youth engagement in the community. So we've already established that in Oroville, we have a lot of intimacy, right? A lot of intimacy. There's a lot of comfort with each other. So then a few weeks ago, again, when I was talking to Sus and Ayesha, we also came to the same conclusion that we feel we regret that we didn't put enough initiative to like go engage with the community. So whether it be like going to a farm, like going to Ora Orchard and learning how to grow our vegetables, which I would argue is one of the most crucial skills in today's time, especially during COVID-19, you're like, wow, like you're so, we realize it's been like such a highlight and such a confrontation that we're so distant from nature, right? So we have like those kind of, we have that access, but I never made that initiative. I never took that initiative. I never took the initiative to go learn at a very innovative unit in Oroville, like, let's say like Aquadine, or, you know, there's also units that create their own solar panels. So we were like, why didn't we do that? As adults, we found ourselves like filled with some regret. So I wanted to ask you, in this current generation of Oroville youth, has that changed a little bit? I mean, of course, this is a subjective evaluation, but I just wanted to know, like, at least speak for personally. So personally, do you guys find yourself with that kind of initiative? And if not, like, what do you think the reasons are?
I think what I heard from you, for sure, there is a bit more of initiative inside, especially from my part. I like feel like I need to do something, like give back, because Orville's given so much to me. And also because I was in TLC, that every year we would do like service week. Is that the name, right, Jazz?
Yeah.
So we would go to a unit and like a week or a week and a half, and we would like help them out and learn, and we would keep a diary of it, and then whatever, we would make those weeks. And it was actually honestly really interesting. And as I grew out of TLC and I went to a few, to law school, I didn't really have any interaction with the community so much. But every now and then a project came, like the Aura project that I worked in in October till December.
Yeah.
Then in March, I was part of a program called the Youth Pilot Program. That is the transition between like Oroville kids doing their B form. So I was the me and my sister and a few other kids were like the first people, like it was a test run. Then I'm also like slowly getting into the movement of tourism in Oroville. And I'm doing like little projects here and there. And I think it's just generally it's fun. Like it takes a bit of energy, but it's quite rewarding. And I feel like accomplished. And yeah, giving back, I think, is like would be my keyword.
Yeah, I agree with you, Aiden. And personally, I think like you would do great in tourism. I can imagine you being a very fantastic tour guide, to be honest. But not tour guide in like such a like amusement park setting, but just really, really like getting into the nitty-gritties of like community life and like, you know, sharing your experiences. Because that's so important, right? Because people come to Oroville with certain expectations. And I think it's really important for people who've grown up in the community to be like, oh, this is like my experience, and I show people around with like some real humanity, you know? Mm-hmm. How about you, Mir? What are your thoughts on this, just in terms of youth engagement in the community?
I live in Kailash, and after joining Kailash, I feel at least part of the youth community. I'm getting more integrated. I'm making more friends. I'm becoming more outspoken, more of an extrovert. I also, in quarantine, was bored. And do you know Solitude Farm?
Yes, yes, yes.
I started volunteering there for about 2 months. I love Krishna. I love his message. And then me and my friend, Kilan, another youth, a senior of mine, started planting and making our own garden in Kailash.
That's literally my dream right now. If I could do that in Munich, I don't have a garden, you guys. I legit live in like a concrete box. I mean, welcome to city life. But that's legit one of my dreams right now. And shout out to Krishna. Seriously, shout out to Krishna. I don't know him so well personally, but I've talked to a lot of Aurevillians the past couple of months. And like Krishna is very well-versed in the topic of permaculture. And since COVID-19 broke out, I think a lot of community members feel so much more invested in the agricultural sector, including the youth, evidently. So that's really nice to hear. How about you, Jasmine?
So, I mean, like Ivan said, we did have quite a bit of exposure when we were in TLC because of the service weeks. And then we also had, I think it was a year or a couple of terms where we had once or twice a week, we went to Solitude and we had school the whole day in Solitude. So we also got the exposure to permaculture and stuff. And I mean, I live in the Greenbelt, so I'm in the forest all the time. And my mom works in the forest full time. And when my dad lived with us, he worked in it quite a bit. And we also have a garden that we just restarted because the wild boars like ripped it apart. But and I'm not super involved in the forest or in the garden because of school and stuff. And I find it an interesting balance because I do have a similar opinion to Ivan that like Orville has given us so much and so many opportunities and stuff. And there is this feeling of like wanting to give back. But at the same time, I think that's also a personal thing because I really struggle with like guilt. But I feel like living in Orville as a youth, because it's a community of never-ending youth, and I feel like there's a lot of pressure towards the youth to be really helpful and to be really productive and to like have a drive and stuff. And so I find it sometimes a bit challenging growing up in Orville because people always say, like, take more initiative being a youth and stuff. And during, like, now actually during the lockdown and all, I feel like I have more time to, like, even explore ideas like that. But during school, I can't even think about it. Like, I find it amazing how Ivan, like, gets around to doing those things.
Yeah,
so I like the idea, but I haven't personally given back to the extent that I would like to.
Yeah, thank you for your honesty. I really genuinely, that's really refreshing because people are like, I did this, I did that. Like, but did you really? So thank you for being very honest. And that actually was very well tied into my next question because I think personally also when I was growing up, there was like Jasmine mentioned, this overwhelming pressure, like very invisible yet very subtle, but very dominant in a way also. Of like, okay, you guys, you grew up here, you know what Orville's about, you know all the communities, you know all these people, so what's your take, like what can you do to give back, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think even to today, you know, I'm interacting with many older members of the Orville community, and they're like, oh, you know, why aren't they more like you, Dambi? Why aren't they more like you? Like, and I'm like, I think there are a lot of people like me, so I just wanted to also ask Aiden and Mir, if you guys also feel that pressure from the, or like, let's say like the rest of the community, especially the older generation, I call them the pioneering generation, the people who actually built the Mathur Mandir, who really like started from scratch. I think they have this like, I mean, they even admit it. They're not even like, they don't even hide their expectation. They're so vocal about it. They're like, oh, it's my hope to like give this like burning torch fire to down to the generation. So what are your thoughts on that, like Aiden and Mir?
Well, for sure, one thing that I wanted to say to the point that we were talking about before, that it's not like, it's very self-motivated to be involved in Orville. Like, I know a lot of people that they don't have that, they can't find that motivation, and they just don't put in the energy, and I find that it's fine, it's their thing. Obviously, like, I try and nudge my friends, I'm like, come on, help me out with this project, like, let's do this, let's do that, but I think it's a very personal thing. And to be honest, there are not so many people who are so involved with the community. The group that there is there, it's quite small, I would say, of people, young people involved. And also to the pioneers, like sometimes there's a bit of like a clash, because right now, Orville, we don't need so much anymore, like the physical development anymore, like building and planting trees, like that part is already really done. And sometimes I think it's hard for the pioneers to see that that's not what we need to focus on anymore. And we need to focus on like the society and the economy and like things that we can't really touch, right? And we need to use our brain a bit more.
He didn't kind of cut out, but it's okay. Let's wait. He'll come back in due time. Okay, well, while we wait for Aiden to reconnect, Mir, do you want to just describe, but also from your perspective, like what Aiden was saying, just like there is a portion of the youth community that don't have the motivation to give back. And also that, like, his comment personally, what he said about the pioneers, I think is very, very relevant. The fact that so much of the infrastructural elements are in place now, and now it's time to get into the more invisible aspects of a community, including how we interact with each other, and including also how we self-generate income. Okay, Aiden has left the chat, but he shall return. So what are your thoughts on that, Mir?
I think there's too many labels, and obviously there'll always be age separations, but
okay.
I believe there should be more interactive activities. Like, for example, when I did a play, such as Sorciati or Melodacious, all different generations of Orville were working together to create this piece of art and give back to the community. I don't see so much of that. And being a teenager, a lot of us are confused. And like Adam was saying, we don't have so much initiative. And having the support of our elders, we can create nice things together.
Yeah. I agree, guys. I guess like the question, the only remaining question I have on this topic is, how do you guys feel like the Orville youth can be more encouraged to partake? And of course, keeping in mind certain restrictions of like school. I mean, if you're in school, that does take a lot of your time, especially if you're taking it seriously. But if you're in front of a camera right now and you're addressing the pioneering community or like the older members of the community, what would you say to them? Like really just from directly to be like, oh, this is what I wish you could do to make me feel like much, to spark my interest or motivation.
I think like, honestly, it's a bit sad. Maybe it's a bit sad what I'm about to say, but I think it's very nice. Like many Orville youth struggle with like having their own pocket money and stuff. Since the maintenance is very low. And at least I know from my father's side that he really encourages youth people to come into the company, and he helps them out with like a bit of money and for them to grow their skill. Like Rajiv Shankar, he's a photographer from Orville, and for some time he was working with my dad, and my dad was helping him out, like pay his stuff, you know, like he needs a camera. Where's he going to get the money for a good camera? You know, like he needs income. And I think that's a very encouraging thing. It's obviously Orville's not about all about money, but for the youth, like we want to have that, like a bit of cash, you know, like to get a bike eventually, to even if like save up and go for a trip, and especially if your parents can't pay for you, that's a very nice thing, you know.
I would say
that's something very, very useful that the pioneers could help out.
Yeah. You know? What about you, Jasmine and Mir? What are your thoughts on just like how you, the older members of the community can incentivize the youth to like, or make them feel more comfortable to partake in day-to-day activities in Orville?
I feel like it has a lot to do with presumption. Just if there is no preconceived ideas that the youth of Orville are either like them when they came, or that we are a specific type now, like, I'm sure that they can see that when they came, there was such a diverse amount of such a diverse group of people, and now we're even more people, so it's even more diverse. So don't make presumptions about our attitudes or things like that, because I find it so demotivating when there's like blanket statements made about like the youth of Orville. I'm sure they feel that way as well as the pioneers. So I think it's like a two-way street, just like presumptions of Aiden's sister Alloway. She has her license, and she was telling me the other day how she was driving the car, and she has a license for driving a car, and somebody was like, oh, so I see you're driving a car, as though she doesn't have a license. And it was just like, why are you making that presumption? You probably don't. And she, like, you know,
yeah,
a more like open-minded approach to everybody. Yeah.
Okay, hear that, pioneers, no presumptions. What about you, Mir? What are your thoughts on this?
I think the pioneers are somewhat defensive, and they kind of think of Orville as kind of their little baby that they have to take care of. And all these new youth, and sure, there are some rowdies around that ruin our name, but yeah.
It's a tough topic. It's a complex topic here. I think coming to all, I mean, just I think one thing I'd like to speak on all our behalf, please correct me if you are not on the same page. I think personally, a lot of us, I mean, even Aiden was born in Orville. Jasmine, you were born in spirit in Orville, let's say, not maybe physically, but like you were born in spirit there. And also, Mir, you've been living there all your life. For me, I came a bit later. I came when I was, Aiden has left again, but so I came when I was like 7, and I realized as an adult now, like engaging more with the Aura Project, that I also have to come to a decision. Okay, I'm an adult now. Would I want to be a part of the Orville community? Because it was never my choice. And I don't say it in a self-victimizing way where I'm like, mom brought me here to a random jungle. I was like in a city filled with skyscrapers, and then suddenly I'm in a jungle with like trees that look like Tarzan kids going on. And just imagine like the culture shock that I went through as a kid. So my point is, I think also I really hope that the older members of the community give us that freedom and don't make all these presumptions and assumptions that we have to give back. Because keep in mind, they came as adults. They were at a stage in their life where they said, okay, I've interacted in modern or urban part of the world, and this is not for me. I want to tap into the vision or tap into the dream of Orville. But for kids, we don't, it's equivalent to like, if I grew up in Amsterdam, I wouldn't expect Amsterdam residents to be like, yo, you guys have to get back to Amsterdam, right? Because of course we were born there, we grew up there. So I think that's something that I would really like, this would be my address if I was like in a room full of older Orwellians. And I think they could empathize with that. The next topic I want to you guys explore is already what Aiden mentioned about just financial independence, and also what it means to, like, what financial independence means for Orville youth. So I feel like one of the main reasons that Orville youth feel certain pressure to go abroad and get like a certain qualification is to be at a later stage in life, be in a better position to like earn money, right? Because it is like, I mean, Orville is not immune to the rest of societal pressure in the world. So I think a lot of kids are like, okay, I should go to college, I should get a degree, so that I have something to show for my merit or for my aptitude and skills. So then what I see often is, especially in the generation above me, they came back to Orville, they're doing great things, they've taken some very important roles, whether it be in the working committee or in the FAMC. So they're doing a lot of things. But still, there is a group of them that have to go back to Europe or to the States to work on, like, on a seasonal level, like to go work at a Christmas market or to go work at like these different musical festivals to earn money. So I'm really curious, like, you guys are still young, and I'm sure you're not worried too much about financial independence because you still are living with your parents, or like, I mean, Mir, you're living in Kailash, but still you feel like somewhat supported by your parents, I'm hoping. So do you have this worry that like you are going to struggle to be financially independent when you live in Orville?
I'm sorry for my bad connection. I connected to my data on my mobile.
Okay.
No worries. My Wi-Fi was being unstable.
Yeah.
So yeah, about financial independence, I don't live with my parents neither. I'm a mutual roommate.
Okay.
We live on the same floor in Canada. So I was, I'm independent from my parents right now, independent. My next step would be to be independent economically also. That's something that I'm looking forward to. I work half time now, and as I said, I have my tourist guide trips that I have a contract. So in that sense, I'm quite like, it's quite organized for me. And also I'm building up a skill that is being a barista, and it's coming along quite well. And that's something for sure that I want to explore out of Oroville. I want to have like my few years of go out and explore the world. And I don't see that I will have a problem being financially independent from my parents.
Yeah,
because of my two strongholds that are being a barista and my tourist guide. So yeah, for me that's not such a big problem. It's more like, how soon am I gonna get there?
Okay, I'm really glad to hear that, Aiden. What about you, Jasmine? What about you, Mir?
For me, I've also started working since a year now. I teach swimming, and I've got a swimming teaching certificate for like the whole world. So I could do that wherever I go, which is great. And I really enjoy it, and it's something I love. So somehow I have not really ever had that fear or of like or financial pressure, just because somehow, even though it is so challenging to live in Oroville off of the basic maintenance and without an external income, you're never gonna, over here, you're never really gonna be like life or death kind of situation, whereas in a city you would be.
Yes,
because
yes.
There is the solar kitchen, no matter how much we hate it. And there are all the basic needs like for you, which I think is somehow really comforting to know. And I think it's a great thing that that does exist already in Oroville. So in that sense, I never have like a fear factor. But it's true that if you want anything above those basic things, it's really hard just on the maintenance. So I never expected to survive just off of that. So I kind of in my head had this picture of like the people that go out and then come back in, something like that more.
Yeah. How about you, Mir?
I'm quite the opposite. I find being part of Oroville is very comforting, knowing that we have such a tight-knit community, and if I ever needed something, I know there would be not one, but a bunch of people that would be there to help me.
Yeah.
I work at Sushi now, I work at Sakura Sushi, a place in a unit in Oroville, just to make a little bit of money to eat out or whatever. And I also believe that being in Oroville, we're brought up to be more spiritual and part of nature, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And a lot of youth haven't really had the abroad experience, if you know what I mean. The more materialistic, wanna travel, buy stuff, type of lifestyle. I think, like, from 20 to 25 after high school, it gives us an opportunity to really appreciate Oroville and come back.
Yeah.
To add to your point, I think like it's a very reoccurring cycle that happens like in Oroville. People like they'll finish their high school, they'll be like, okay, let me explore a bit. Either I go to university or I learn a job or I do like an apprenticeship somewhere. Then like you do that for 2 or 3 years, then you get a job as that, and then you realize like, whoa, do I really want to be in the rat race? Do I really want to be living like this?
Yeah.
Like, or some people might want to be doing it, and that's totally fine. Like, enjoy your life, you know, do what makes you happy. But
yeah.
In my opinion, like, from living in Oroville and being brought up with what Mir said, the spiritual and nature values, it's a very big, like, it's a very big magnetic pull to come back, I would say.
Yeah,
and
I think
many
also,
people
like,
slowly come back.
A link to, like, the previous question and with the pioneers, stuff. I think that's also a major point, that somehow there's a sense of like betrayal when the youth always leave after high school. Mm. This thing of, oh, like they grew up here and now they're just ditching, they're just leaving. Yeah, that's one. But I think it's so important just because I think we are so much more useful to the community after we come back and after we've been exposed to the rest of the world, because it's such a bubble.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be thinking about like moving forward in the context always of Orville, because we are so linked actually to the outside world and the bigger picture. So yeah, I think we need to keep in mind that that exposure is really necessary and gives us like some fundamental skills that can really enhance and help the community when we come back, if we come back.
Well, these are very all useful and very insightful things that you guys are saying. And also, I want to just comment on a couple of things. So first things first, what Eden said about the rat race. So I've been living outside of Orville for a long time now. So it's been almost 8-9 years. And especially engaging in this topic of how to restructure the economy to be more caring, to be more inclusive, so that we don't have such huge income gaps within any society, not only for Orville, but around the world. You have topics like universal basic income that is trying to be more human, take a more humanistic approach to like providing help to people for being human, instead of being like, okay, you filled all these prerequisites, so now we'll give you help. It's so conditional, right? And that's not the way society should be structured. And getting to the topic of rat race, for me, engaging in this topic of economy, I honestly, like, I get very emotional when I think that even in Germany, which arguably is one of the most wealthiest nations in Europe, and Europe is one of the wealthiest continents in the world, so you could just put that into perspective. It breaks my heart when I see that there's so many people who just go to a job so that they earn an X amount of money that they can actually like just pay, and then they're like living paycheck to paycheck. So there's not even any saving. They're just literally working to be able to feed themselves. And that for me is not any society that we should be living in. Especially like when there's so much innovation, there's so much technology that could, so to speak, help people to like explore more. If let's say at a point there's going to be technology that takes care of all the mundane manual labor, right? And people can explore, be much more creative. I think that's how we should be moving towards in society. And I think it ties back to what Aiden was saying, that like when you live abroad for a long time and you see so many people in these so-called trapped rat races, like work, like earn money. And then it's like a consumerist culture. So you feel like you have to spend more and buy more too. So it's like you always end up in zero.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, let's work more. And then it's like, what is the aim of this? Like, when does this like rat race end, right? So I completely agree with you. And it's really like, so I'm really happy to hear such insights being shared by younger people, because this is honestly something I came to realize much later in my life, like recently, you know?
Aura, the value we create together.